Hi, I'm Nathan Weinbender, film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic and lover of all things lilac.
And I'm Dan Webster, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that keeps up with contemporary cinema so you don't have to. And one of the things we like to do is advocate for the little movies that we think should have bigger audiences, if only people knew about them. We've done this type of show before. We each name a couple buried treasures and tell you why they're worth a look. But this time, we've decided to stick to films released between that cursed year 2020 and now, because it seems like more and more low-budget, independent, and under-marketed movies are getting lost in the streaming shuffle. All the movies we're talking about are available to watch at home, and we've saved you the trouble of having to dig for them. So who wants to go first?
I guess I'll jump in, because I picked a movie from it that was released in 2020. And of course, if you give me open-ended choice on anything regarding movies, I'm going to gravitate toward the docs. So this documentary is titled American Factory, and it was filmed in 2019. So I cheated a little, but it didn't get released until 2020. And it's about a Chinese corporation that is building a factory outside of Dayton, Ohio. And so they come from afar in order to build this factory. And it was a General Motors plant previously. So some people, you know, are really excited that this factory is going to return to their small town. But it really, and they're going to hire 2,000 people. So again, another reason for joy and excitement and optimism. But then there's kind of a culture clash that happens.
Kind of.
Okay. I was trying to downplay it a little, but it was, I was fascinated throughout this whole film just because it doesn't always go the way you expect. And it is a modern problem, even today in 2026.
Yeah, and we should say that this movie, American Factory, it won the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature. But I think because of when it was released, a lot of people missed it. And
right,
so it
exactly.
Hasn't been talked about like a lot of the other movies that have won that same award have won. And this is high praise. It reminded me of the works of Barbara Kopple, who has devoted a lot of her career to the American workplace, to
two-time Oscar winner.
Yeah, specifically her movies, Harlan County, USA, and American Dream.
Exactly.
It also makes you think of, you know, Roger and Me.
And, you know, and the thing that I find really interesting is listening to the Chinese workers talk about the American workers and vice versa, because it's amazing the difference in the two cultures.
We should also mention that the filmmakers had an Oscar-nominated a short that was about the closing of the GM plant. So it was, that was 10 years earlier. And so it took them, you know, so this is actually piggybacking on their earlier efforts in the region.
Yeah. And American Factory's Netflix production, so you can watch it that way. Dan, do you have a buried treasure for us?
Well, absolutely. You know, the thing about watching film festival movies is that you don't always, you aren't looking for cheap and sentimental entertainment. And so one of the films that we saw, and we actually reviewed it on the show, is Quo Vadis Aida, a 2020 film that was directed by Jamila Jbanik. And it's about, it's a fictionalized version of the massacre that happened in the Balkans in 1995. And it centers on a woman who's a UN translator and her husband and son. And Serbian troops are moving in, and she's deathly afraid of what's going to happen. And she's trying to get the Dutch UN workers who she works with to get her husband and son a pass. And the whole movie is basically you can feel the time ticking by, and you know what's going to happen. If you have any knowledge about what happened in Serbia in 1995, you know what's going to happen. And it's a harrowing story that's taken directly from the news headlines, and but it's one that's become so sadly typical that it doesn't have the potency anymore. Kind of like the latest mass shooting, you know. But like all good art, it brings the issue of man's inhumanity to all humankind out in the open and makes it hard, if not impossible, to ignore. Quo Vadis Aida, streaming on various services, including Canopy, the library service.
Yes, I think this is definitely a film worth watching because of the way they roll out the information. Because, and we know some Kosovar and other Bosnian filmmakers who are still focused on this because to them, this is a critical event in their history. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you know, a multi-generational trauma situation.
Well, and I'm glad that we're doing the show and limiting it to, you know, the 2020s because of theater shutting down and because of movies transitioning to streaming only during the pandemic, there were a lot of these films that just got totally missed. And I'll be honest that I don't remember too much about this movie. Maybe I blocked it out because it was so dark, but I do think it's because it was released when it was released. But I do remember this movie's central performance by Jasna Duracek, probably mispronouncing that. I remember her face so well, and I remember the ending being particularly powerful and gutting. So this is probably one that I'll have to steel myself for and go back and rewatch.
By the way, her surname is Juricic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. I looked up the pronunciation on Wikipedia, but it didn't help me any clearly. Yeah. Okay, I guess it's my turn for Buried Treasure from the last 5 years. And this is an American movie released in 2022. It only got a limited release. I don't think we ever reviewed it on this show, but it's now streaming on Hulu. It's on Canopy. It's available to rent in all the usual places. It's Daniel Goldhaber's film, How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which is based on a nonfiction book by Andreas Malm, but it is not a nonfiction film. It is a narrative feature. And it's about a group of environmental activists. Some might call them eco-terrorists. And as the movie begins, they're heading to West Texas to do exactly what the title says. They're going to destroy an oil pipeline that's being installed in the middle of the desert. And we see how each of these characters became radicalized enough that they would want to get involved in this plot. And we come to learn who's willing to go further with the plan than others. And then the back half of the movie focuses on the plan to blow up the pipeline. And it goes from a character drama to a heist thriller. And like all good heist movies, it's hyper concerned with all the details that go into the operation and the order that those details have to occur in.
And the people and their personalities that
that start clashing. And so that means that you're really on the edge of your seat when something inevitably goes wrong, and many things do go wrong in How to Blow Up a Pipeline. And we've seen similar themes in movies like Running on Empty, in Night Moves by Kelly Reichardt. I don't think this is going to be the last time her name gets mentioned on this show. And most recently in Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another. But this one feels even more righteously angry than any of those earlier films. And it's sometimes just as good. It's got a lot of really complicated political ideas in it. But beyond that, it's just a watertight thriller and it's brilliantly paced. So I think this is one that really got lost in the shuffle. Again, it's called How to Blow Up a Pipeline by the director Daniel Goldhaber.
Who's in it?
It was a lot of like young up and coming actors, some of whom have gone on to do other things. Sasha Lane, who was in the Andrea Arnold film American Honey, is in it. Forrest Goodluck. I think the biggest name is Lucas Gage, who showed up in stuff like The White Lotus after the fact. And so the fact that you don't have an immediate connection with who these actors are also means that you're not totally sure where the characters are going to go.
Right.
And that's a huge benefit to this movie. Gives it a gritty realism.
Yeah, I like that about a film when you are not sure who's who and who's on first, so to speak. And this did go where I thought, and then it totally didn't.
Yes. Do you remember this movie?
I do not remember this movie at all.
See, I think it just went totally under the radar.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked, and I don't think we ever talked about it. So we must have just watched it in our own free time. But this is one that if you like this sort of political thriller heist movie, this will be right up your alley most likely.
Absolutely.
All right. And those were our first picks for Buried Treasures of the 2020s. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Dan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to recommend some more unsung gems. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Brendan McMurphy, sales manager at Spokane Public Radio. Our listeners crave all things local. Local news, music, arts, and culture. And they love to support local business. Program underwriting with SPR is a win-win. Your business support sustains public radio while we connect you with our audience. To learn more about business support or to become a program underwriter, email me at underwriting@kpbx.org. And thank you.
SPR News Today is your daily dose of headlines from across the Inland Northwest. The SPR Newsroom and our partners around the region have you covered with stories ranging from politics and local government to housing and Indigenous affairs, all in just 10 minutes a day. Listen now at SpokanePublicRadio.org, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the NPR app.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Nathan Weinbender. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Dan Webster, and I were talking about some recent releases that didn't get the attention and love we think they deserve. We have a few more selections to get through. What should we talk about next? MP, you started last time, so why don't you kick us off again? Give us
okay.
A buried treasure.
Again, chose another documentary.
I figured.
And this was a doc that was filmed in 2022 in the Hindi language, but it was actually a Canadian film. It was directed by Nisha Pahuja, and it is titled To Kill a Tiger. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about buried treasures or hidden gems, I guess this must be one because neither of you acknowledges having seen this particular film.
No, I haven't seen this.
And ooh, it was nominated for a Best Documentary of 2023, but it really did fly beneath the radar, apparently. And it didn't have a distributor originally. And then Mindy Kaling and some others sort of jumped in and promoted this film. And it did finally get released theatrically in 2024, around the time of the Academy Awards. And Netflix is now its sponsor. But it is about a small village in India, in rural India, where a girl was brutally raped by the son of a wealthy, well-known influencer dad in the community. And so typically, in compliance with some traditional practices, these things would go completely unreported, completely unnoticed. But the daughter is insistent about what happened, and her father takes up her cause and really tries to pursue justice on her behalf. And it's a really interesting cultural examination of the law enforcement practices, about the court system, about class distinctions. And it really is this search for justice for this particular girl. And it's told with a lot of, I guess, thoughtful insight and compassion about how these people deal with this particular situation, which is not all that unusual, but their reporting and follow through on it is.
Yeah, and I don't know how this movie, it's called To Kill a Tiger. I don't know how this slipped past us, because usually we're on top of the Oscar-nominated documentaries.
Yeah.
And I looked it up. So the lineup that year was pretty stacked. The winner was 20 Days in Mariupol, which we definitely saw. There was also Four Daughters, which is a favorite of yours, MP, and then The Eternal Memory. So we saw those. That was the one that was about the couple. And one of them had dementia, and was about memory and all of that.
Yeah, he was aging. A journalist.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a pretty good lineup, but this is one I'll have to seek out. And, I feel like we do spend a lot of time kind of knocking Netflix for various things, but I got to give them props for that's two Oscar-nominated, one Oscar-winning documentary that I believe that's the only place you can see those movies. So, at least they're giving a platform to films like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dan, you want to give us another buried treasure?
Well, you mentioned in the first half of the show, you mentioned the filmmaker Kelly Reichardt.
Yeah.
And, we over the years have reviewed a lot of her movies, and I'll just name a few. Wendy and Lucy, Meek's Cut Off, Certain Women, Showing Up, and most recently, The Mastermind. But the movie I wanted to talk about was a movie from 2020 called First Cow, and it stars John Magaro and Orion Lee and Toby Jones. And John Magaro and Orion Lee are these two guys who are struggling. It's set in 1820s, the Pacific Northwest, and I like to think it's somewhere north of Seattle. It's an area that those of us who have been to the West Side, we're familiar with it. But it's so tied to the landscape, and it's a tough time to be alive. And these two guys are struggling.
I remember is mud.
Oh yeah, and what they end up doing is the Toby Jones is this rich guy who's brought the only and first cow to this particular area, and so what they do is
you need two to have more cows.
Yeah, well, it had a calf, but the calf died, and you know, but so
that's part of pioneer life.
It is milking, so they go and steal the milk. Because one of the guys, the character played by John Magaro, is a baker. So he makes these baked goods, and that's how they make a living. And they're living out in the woods and everything. And it sounds like just your nice little Disney movie until it doesn't become that. And it becomes actually a harrowing movie, and it's a story of survival. And I wrote this. It's a gently sad look at the bond between the two characters, doomed as we know they are from the movie's opening scenes. And it doesn't give anything away. We know what happens to them from the very beginning. And I wanted to read a line from in terms of the land, that A.O. Scott wrote in his review. We human beings have made our ugly marks all over the natural world. Still, the land is the thread that connects us to the past, to everything we did and everything we failed to do, but also to the people in another lifetime whom we loved. It's a movie that's well worth checking out.
I was sort of joking when I talked about the mud, but it has this very authentic feel of the times, because we're accustomed sometimes, not in First Cow, but rather in some other portrayals, Little House on the Prairie, of things being all pristine and fun
romanticizing
and, you know,
everything,
whatever.
Yes.
And this sort of tells it like it is. At least that's the way I felt about it.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, you're right. We've praised one Kelly Reichardt movie after another. I think I loved The Mastermind more than either of you. But I think First Cow is right behind in terms of her best work. And the way she shows that friendship that you mentioned, the way she shows it forming while also showing how business monopolies were taking down the little guy 200 years ago and even before then, of course. And I agree with you that she as a filmmaker is really underrated in how she captures the detail of insular
of Meek's,
communities.
Meek's Crossing in
particular. Meek's Cut Off. Yeah,
Meek's Cut Off. People going west on the Oregon Trail and the mishaps that they encounter.
Lots of mud in that movie, too. But yeah, just the way she captures those details. Like it sometimes feels like she's taken a time machine and made a movie in the actual past. So yeah, First Cow and all of Kelly Reichardt's movies.
And she gets good performances. You know,
Michelle Williams
and John Magaro in Showing Up. Who played the brother of Michelle Williams.
Josh O'Connor in The Mastermind.
In The Mastermind,
Okay, well, it's my turn to give one final buried treasure. And this is a movie that also came out in 2020, so not a lot of people saw it. And it's called Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets. And it's by the brother directing team of Bill and Turner Ross. And they often make nonfiction films that are not what they initially seem, and this one is no exception. So it begins on the last night in a Las Vegas bar called the Roaring Twenties. So it's closing for good, and all the regulars and barflies are coming out for a big going-away party. And this also happens to be in the weeks before the 2016 election. So tensions are high for a lot of reasons. And we meet all these characters. There's a guy who has slept there overnight, and he basically kind of lives there in exchange for janitorial work. There's this bartender who comes in, and she's constantly taking calls about her delinquent son who's like setting fires around the city. There's this black Vietnam veteran who seems to be the only person in the bar who seems to be worried about the impending election. So we're eavesdropping on all this, and it's funny and it's sad and it's a little bit weird. So this movie, Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, appears to be a documentary about this real place and these real people.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And it's not. It is a loosely scripted narrative movie. It was shot not in Las Vegas, but in New Orleans, because apparently it's cheaper to shoot there. And the people in it are playing what I understand to be slightly fictionalized versions of themselves, but they are following predetermined story beats. However, they were apparently drinking real alcohol throughout the shoot. So
I would believe that.
Yeah. So some of the conversations that we overhear, the tensions that we see develop, may have been real. And if they're not, they feel very real. So regardless of how you feel about that kind of trickery behind the movie's concept, I think that even if it's not all true, it contains a lot of truth. And this is one of my favorite buried treasures of recent years.
I like that film also. I mean, and I never really understand. So improvisation or is it fly on the wall, like listening, but it's narrative?
Yeah. It's a hard movie to describe, but I think once you get into it, it's so absorbing.
I don't even remember the movie, to tell you the truth. And I'm bits and pieces that you keep talking about, I keep going, almost there, but nope, don't quite. So maybe I'll have to see it again.
Yeah, and it's streaming on Criterion, so check it out, Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets.
It is kind of fascinating that we sort of went back. I mean, you gave us this. It's not we decided. Nathan decided we would have this five-year time frame. But it is fascinating that without talking to one another, we all went back early on.
Yeah, that's true.
Or at least in part to what had happened. Because when I looked at the ones from 23, 24, and 25, I thought we just talked about them.
Yeah.
It seemed like we just talked about them. 2020 seems
like an eternity ago. But we've given people a lot of streaming options. So check all of these out. And with that, this is Movies 101. I'm Nathan Weinbender and Dan Webster. Mary Pat Truthart and I have been unearthing some buried cinematic treasures of the 2020s. Let's take this moment to thank Aaron Bratt for directing the show. And we thank you too, our loyal listeners, and we invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out the best that cinema has to offer. Until then, consider these words from a director who has a few buried treasures to his name, Spike Lee. I think it's very important that films make people look at what they've forgotten. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.